stars. She held Ryan's G-12 caseless. Her heart told her it wasn't possible that JB should be in serious danger of leaving them. Someone like the Armorer had been around so long that the idea of him dying seemed utterly ridiculous. But her mind and her highly developed mutie sensitivity told her differently. The stillness that enveloped JB in its muffling darkness brought its own story. Christy had knelt by his side, reaching for his hand, finding no response at all to her touch. It was like holding warm, dead meat. The vibrant electricity that normally surged through the Armorer was completely lacking. The ville outside was quiet. Cooking fires brought smoke, ghosting from the north and east of where they were hiding. She felt a few drifting flakes of snow feathering against the skin of her face, holding the promise of more bad weather to come.
Good evening, my dear Christy. Distinctly more chilly, is it not?
Hi, Doc. Yeah, getting cold.
No sign of Ryan? Oh, not one of my more intelligent questions. If he'd been back, I suspect you might have informed us. He said he hoped to be back by dusk.
Hoped, Doc. He's after his boy, and also something to save JB's life. It's sort of a busy day.
Christy, how do you feel about this sudden appearance of his son? What we used to call a bit of a turn-up for the book, back in my day.
Christy rested her forearms on the pile of rubble, staring out across the vast wilderness of New York.
I don't know. That's the truth, Doc. I just don't know what I feel. I suppose that if a woman had turned up with an armful of children and said she was his wife, it might be different. A kid of 10, Doc. You saw the pic of him. Got to be Ryan's son. No, I just don't know. Have to wait and see.
Ryan would never do anything that might hurt you, Christy.
I know that, Doc.
While they'd been talking, she'd been idly pricking with her nail at something lodged in the brickwork. It finally came loose, and she peered at it, realizing she was holding a part of a woman's earring. Christy wondered what had happened to the owner of the slender piece of metal that had been driven into raw stone by the awesome power of the nukings.
What's that?
What, Doc?
Thought for a moment that my tired old ears had caught the faintest susurration of mechanized transport far off.
A wag?
Yes. Can you not...
Yes. Yes. It could be.
Shall I tell Mildred?
No. Get JB's blaster and come up here, Doc. Might be Ryan. Might not be.
But it was Ryan. There were so many questions after the wag had rumbled away into the freezing night. The underground monarch hadn't just given Ryan drugs. There was a parcel, neatly wrapped and itemized, of ammunition, including both the rare caseless rounds and the antique 36 calibers for Doc's Lama. A whole rucksack was filled with food, mostly canned meat and vegetables, as well as some dried fish, and a supply of O-Cleanse tablets, which claimed to make any kind of water safely drinkable. And there was a small shrink-wrapped box of self-lights promised to get even the dampest of wood burning brightly. But it was the drugs that brought Mildred running from the side of the unconscious JB. She took the package, which was wrapped tightly in the neatly cut remnants of a black plastic garbage bag, and tore it open, looking down into her cupped hands as though she'd just encountered the Holy Grail.
Fucking A!
It was a bubble pack, stamped and coated, of 12 miniature syringes, each containing a measured dose of the antibiotic. Mildred read quickly through the instructions, her lips moving, totally ignoring the waiting trio of friends.
Well? Well, pardon the aptness of the expression, but this is just what the doctor ordered.
The night passed. Ryan took turns on watch with Doc and Christy, allowing Mildred to spend all her time by the side of her patient. A cold front had come south over the state, slicing down from Canada, dropping the temperature to something like 40 below. During the time, Ryan told his companion something about Harry Stanton and the rambling palace of the underworld king. Mildred was only listening with half her attention. The instructions had said to give the injections every 6 to 8 hours. She'd given JB two at once, and then a third 2 hours later. His breathing seemed slower and easier, and his temperature had fallen a little. But, as she said, there was still a bitterly long way to go.
More books than I'd ever seen in the whole Deathlands.
Did you see a copy of Moby Dick? I've been wanting to show that to you, Ryan.
Sorry, Doc. If you want to go there after this is all down and done and see for yourself, I guess Harry is the sort of guy who'd be delighted to see you.
You trust him, lover?
You know about me and trust.
Sure, but as far as it goes, will he give us up to the Scalies?
Don't know, Christy. I asked him about how he survived, living quite close to the edge of the Mutie's turf.
And?
Said he believed in living and letting live. As long as he didn't step on his toes, he tried not to step on theirs. But I think the fact that he knew Traitor, and even knew me years ago, gives me an extra card in the game.
But the Wag?
What about it?
Think he might sort of lend it to us to go after the boy?
Stanton's got the biggest collection of Wags I ever seen.
Saw.
I ever saw. But I can't imagine him being so filled with kindness that he'd lend us something like the wreck wag I came in.
Be good against the Scalies.
Yeah. But he did give us a map showing as much as he knows about the layout of their headquarters. It's right up against the river on the west side. He reckons there could be as many as 500 of the bastards there.
It would take some doing.
I know that, lover.
When do we make our move to rescue Child Harold from that dark tower?
Dean, not Harold, Doc. The kid's name is Dean.
Oh, it was a literary illusion, my dear friend. But let it pass.
Oh, sure. Depends on JB's health. If he stays the same, I'll go day after tomorrow. If he starts recovering, we could maybe even try tomorrow night. If he doesn't make it, we'll go as soon as feels right. Can't wait too long. Not with the boy in the hands of the Scalies. What time is it?
About an hour off dawn.
Doc on watch?
Yeah. If it gets any colder, he reckons his breath will freeze right in his mouth.
Might be the only way known in the universe to teach Dr. Theophilus Tanner to keep his mouth shut.
Christy wriggled under the pile of stinking covers alongside Ryan.
Mildred says JB is holding his own against the infection. She's given him another injection, and she'll try another at first light.
What a shitting stupid way to go and buy the farm. Bitten by an insect. I reckon JB must have had better than a dozen serious blaster and blade wounds. A fucking insect.
Not quite as cold under here. You got all your clothes on?
Sure.
Wanna try getting out of some of them, lover?
Won't be my breath that gets frozen if I do, Christy.
Maybe find somewhere hot to put it.
You gaudy slut.
That's me. Any act, no matter how disgusting, for a handful of Jack or a fistful of creds. You name it, and I'll do it.
Oh, yeah? So then how about we,
You filthy bastard perv, Ryan Cotter.
You said anything.
I didn't mean that anything. Anyway, we don't have either the honey or the blindfold.
Or the deaf-mute with the handbells.
Christy was kissing him in tiny, fragile little pecks, all across the side of his face and neck, while her fingers reached their destination. He was uncomfortable on his side, trying to find a way into her tighter pants.
No handbells, Gaia, what a shame. Have to just do it in the boring, old-fashioned way. Oh, never mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all.
The food Harry Stanton had given them made a wonderful change from the strips of dried dog meat and the dubious fish. The four companions sat together around the warm ashes of the fire, huddled against the cold, finishing the meal.
Any chance of more like this to eat?
Harry told me he'd send his wreckwag over to us sometime tomorrow evening. More of the drugs and some more food.
Wait, why didn't he just give you a little more of everything yesterday and save himself another trip?
I wondered. Think it's partly the link with Traitor. Harry's older than us, and I guess he feels kind of a responsibility toward me.
Maybe you're the son he never had.
Christy had murmured just loud enough for Ryan to hear. To hear and to understand. Ryan considered going on a solo patrol again to try to check out some of the details on the map Harry Stanton had given to him. But he knew now that the network of streets for several blocks around the Scalies' base was heavily guarded. From the sketch plan, it looked as if the only way in was from the direction of the river. The issue that should have been occupying most of his mind was the health of his oldest and closest friend. Yet somehow, that wasn't the way it was. It was the faded picture of the solemn-faced little boy with the tight black curls that kept swimming unbidden into the front of his mind. But JB was already showing encouraging signs of fighting back against the lethal infection. The hectic flush had faded, restoring his complexion to its normal sallow pallor. He seemed to be sleeping quietly, and the gaping wound at the side of his face looked to be healing. Mildred was delighted.
It's one of the weirdest things about Deathlands.